The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
Where's Scott?
Good morning, Vietnam!
Rise and shining. Wakey waking.
Good morning.
Where's Scott?
Good morning. Good morning to you.
And you.
And you.
Robert Scott Bell. You are listening to the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
The federal government can do most anything in this country.
And let me say this to all of the chattering class. The American people really don't care.
Robert Scott Bell.
Where in the Constitution does it give you the authority?
I don't worry about the Constitution on this, to be honest.
Wow.
What's going on here?
This is scary.
Robert Scott Bell.
I personally feel that I've done nothing morally wrong.
It depends upon what the meaning of the word is.
Yes. You know, do me a favor. Could you say senator instead of ma'am? I worked so hard to get that title.
Stop whining.
Liberals, I hate them so much.
Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom and making sense out of medical propaganda. The voice of health, freedom, and liberty, Robert Scott Bell.
Don, I'm fired up as we kick off the week here on the Robert Scott Bell Show. I couldn't wait the whole Thanksgiving Day week. I could have taken yesterday off, but no, I had to go live on my Genesis show. I just couldn't resist. There was too much going on. But I'm glad to be back. We got some serious advanced medicine today going on. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Monday.
Yeah. Well, if we kick it off today, we're going to be talking some cancer cures, of course, natural botanical things that we always want to get to whenever we get an opportunity. I've got a great author and doctor, PhD researcher, L. Stephen Cole, is going to be coming on to talk extraordinary healing. We got Dr. Rashid Bittar a little later. But my, oh my, what are we going to kick it off with as far as an interesting story?
Well, interesting story for sure. When I was taking a look at what I'd missed over the last few days, came across this article talking about how the FDA is addressing or going to be addressing something called economic adulteration. I've never heard of that term before.
Economic
adulteration. And so I had to find out what exactly is economic adulteration. And it actually ended up being a rather interesting article that I think sparked some other ideas when we were talking about it.
I see this link here. The General Accounting Office says FDA needs to do more to address economic adulteration. Why does the FDA have to deal with economic adulteration? I mean, aren't they concerned with what you eat and what drugs you take? What, are you somehow ingesting the economy? Is that what's going on here?
Very interesting. We talk all the time about how these other agencies and bureaucracies are dealing with issues that you wouldn't think they would. Like when we were talking about the Department of Homeland Security that were warning people about exploding turkeys.
Yeah,
you know, it just doesn't seem to make sense.
See, the thing is, we're way ahead of the game, Don, because we've always integrated health into economics, haven't we? They're now just getting around to it. You know, they're a little slow and slack at the GAO and the FDA. But basically what they're saying, if I gather the gist of this, and guess who's involved in this? Henry, the Waxman. Yeah, Frank Pallone, or Pallone in Democrat New Jersey. Is that guy older than dirt itself?
And he must be.
John Dingell, the Dingo. Remember John Dingell? Not lovers of dietary supplements. In fact, they are enemies of your freedom to take supplements. And here they are arguing for economic adulteration, which they're claiming it comes out of the melamine and melamine-related compounds in pet foods. Remember that caused the kidney failure in cats and dogs? And then these oversulfated chondroitin sulfates in the blood thinner heparin, which is a drug, not a dietary supplement. Products imported from China. Now, think about this. Economic adulteration. This is basically fraud. But why... oh, why have all of the American companies gone to China to source products? Why? Because the economic adulteration started right here in our own backyard with the dawning of the 1913, not Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act, that's a different story, but Federal Reserve Act. The moment they could adulterate the money, was the moment that we would not be able to keep up with the rate of inflation to produce things affordably, or else you would have to pay your workers such exorbitant rates that these companies would go out of business. So then the so-called free trade movement, which is anything but free trade, it's managed trade, was on. And then the sourcing, the cheap labor, the semi-basic slave labor where you could pay people a couple of bucks a month going to China and other areas of the world became the necessity in order for these global corporations that were developing in the 20th to the 21st century with no allegiance to any nation or state. They would leave and they would come back and send you crap from China so that you would line up on Black Friday or Thursday now of Turkey Day and kill people just to get a cheap TV. And Mike Adams wrote a really brilliant piece on this. The fact that, you know, Rome is burning, basically, and people are worried about, let me save $2 on a Teflon-coated waffle iron. It is, the end of Western civilization is upon us.
Right.
Do I exaggerate here, Don?
No. I'm speechless, Robert. You've amazed me here at the way that you've articulated this.
Well, this is the story here. I'm looking at it, and it's the only thing that makes sense to me. So if somebody has another opinion about this story, and I have it linked up at the blog at robertscottbell.com, do me a favor. Just call me. Set me straight or crooked, whatever you want, at 866-939-BELL, 866-939-2355. We'll get to the bottom of this. Economic adulteration. I mean, basically, they're saying, well, if this is for economic purposes, right, as if you – it adulterated a product and put poison in it, right? And that's somehow not as bad? Well it wasn't doing it for economic gain.
They're also talking about dilution of products with increased quantities of an already present substance. So, you know, I'm looking at this and I'm going, all right, it seems to me that there's a little bit of smoke and mirrors going on here. And I think we're going to have to keep an eye on this because they're using the China situation as the example in order to introduce this. But I have a feeling that there's maybe something a little more sinister involved here where they'll be able to use this in a way against products that are already out on the market that they haven't been able to regulate as much as they want to, such as
supplements. Yeah, listen, with Dingell and Waxman involved, you know that supplements are in the crosshairs. I mean, they're doing their level best to work for their pharmaceutical paymasters that they would deny they're working for, but these people are scum. I'm sorry to kick off Monday this way and be so bold and direct, but it needs to be said. They do not deserve to be in office if they're going after the one thing that is barely keeping Americans alive and the economy alive, the dietary supplement industry, which they're doing their level best to destroy. As the Democrats will blame the Republicans for destroying the economy, and listen, they have their share of blame to shoulder. But you Democrats out there that are supporting the Obama administration and FDA attack on supplements, you're literally violating the basic tenet of freedom and the good things in our economy that are, again, helping Americans to recognize what's going on here to make better decisions for their own life. But so many people have just given up and said, hey, the government owns us. They own our children. They can have it. They can vaccinate us. They can give us drugs as long as it's free or cheap and whatever. And that's a sad state, but that's the reality of where we are today. And we're going to we're going to do our level best, as we always do, Don, to get people understanding a much deeper level of reality here. And of course, that's why we're going to do some discussion of cancer talk and extraordinary healing today on Advanced Medicine Monday.
Yeah. You know, actually, Robert, speaking of cancer, there was another story that I came across talking about inflammatory bowel disease and the drugs that people are taking for that. Now, I have to admit, I ate a little too much over the Thanksgiving holiday, but fortunately, I think I had a little indigestion, not inflammatory bowel disease, but apparently these drugs that some of these people are taking for this particular condition apparently has been linked to skin cancer.
Yeah, I see the story here. Chronic bowel disease drugs linked to skin cancer risk. Now, very interesting that they would acknowledge this link, because how often do people call me, contact me, email? In fact, yesterday I had a great question come through about acne, severe childhood, adolescent, and adult acne. And again, I go back to the intestinal integrity or lack thereof, inflammatory bowel disease, etc. The skin is always a reflection of what's going on inside. And so if they're going to destroy the gut with drugs, they're only going to make susceptible the skin conditions that I see that are more minor and self-limiting, like acne, and turn them into more serious diseases like cancer. So this is another case of ignorant doctors destroying the very basis of the immune system in order to do what? Suppress symptoms, but create 10 others that are life-threatening when it started out as maybe just some gastrointestinal inflammation, which, you know, I don't take lightly ever. But the reality of how to undo that is much different than what they do by bringing cancer onto the skin.
Well, and these drugs that they're giving are immunosuppressant drugs. So they're, the purpose of the drug is to suppress the immune system. So when they're going to do that, how can they think that it's not going to have some kind of negative result in some way?
By the way, Don, I covered this yesterday on my show on GCN. The skin and the stomach and digestive system connection, one of the first remedies I go to when I'm dealing with acne or skin is Nux Vomica. Now, you may have heard me mention Nux Vomica. It's literally the poison nut, which you would never take as a substance like an herb. It's diluted into a homeopathic medicine. But Nux Vomica is a very powerful polycrest. In other words, it has many actions on many aspects of the digestive system, the stomach and as well the liver. And the liver dealing with toxins. The skin deals with toxins as well when the liver is not working well. So Nux Vomica, why is it indicated for acne? You're thinking, well, it's my stomach. Why would I do? Well, you start seeing these links. And then another remedy for acne I will use is called Ledum, L-E-D-U-M, for severe acne, the kind where you see it scarring and such. Ledum is an excellent remedy, by the way, which is the venom of a spider. It's like you use it for spider bites as well, but a lot of the severe acne literally looks visually like a spider bite, which is, again, why the Ledum is a good one to utilize in this case. There are others, but I just want to put that link out there for people that didn't catch the Sunday show. By the way, it streams 24/7 for the next week at gcnlive.com. I've got links in today's show notes that you get through naturalnewsradio.com. If you haven't put your email in there, please do so. Or you can go right to robertscottbell.com for today's show notes. And you'll see what I'm talking about, the links. Why we talk about flu season, Don? Flu season is Halloween to the Super Bowl. Because this is the time frame of the year when people are abusing their gastrointestinal system with food. So, Don, if you overindulge, make sure you take some extra probiotics to get you back on top of things.
I've got my Greek. Actually, you know what I use for probiotic quite often, just something that I can use on a regular daily basis, is plain Greek yogurt. Organic Greek yogurt.
All right. Excellent.
Yeah.
I was hoping you weren't going to say the pond water out back.
No, I try and stay away from that.
All right, Don. Well, we got a lot of healing to do. I've got L. Stephen Coles. He's an MD and a PhD. We're going to talk about a new book called Extraordinary Healing, all about Mirko Beljanski and another cure for cancer from the botanical world. We'll talk again in a few segments from now. And, of course, we've got Dr. Bitar on for Advanced Medicine Monday as well. But let's come back and talk about cancer. It'll get a little egg-heady, so bear with me, but I guarantee you, you'll be much better off for hearing this information and getting that book. Check it out at the blog at robertscottbell.com. Coming right back with more powerful healing after this.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hello, this is Jonathan Wagner. We have an internet website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, that carries many of the products discussed on Robert's show, including the 100% whole food chromium and selenium, silica, as well as sovereign silver and Nordic naturals. Choosetobehealthy.com features the Rolls Royce of probiotics. It's Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. Dr. O'Hara, a world-renowned microbiologist, formulated a unique probiotic that blends ancient Japanese fermentation methods with 21st century technology. No refrigeration is needed. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics contains the strongest lactic acid bacteria known to man based on scientific laboratory research. 6.25 times stronger. Quite simply, it works and works very well. So go to our website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, or call us toll-free, 866-424-1077. That's 866-424-1077. We're here to help.
What nutrition are you missing that's leading to the four major diseases? Cancer, arthritis, heart disease, and Parkinson's. There are at least 80,000 medical studies that show a lack of the protein glutathione to be linked to cancer, heart disease, Parkinson's, macular degeneration, lung disease, digestive diseases, diabetes, Alzheimer's, ALS, rheumatoid arthritis, and lupus. In all, at least 68 diseases. What is the number one food by which your body is most empowered to increase its glutathione production? It is undamaged whey protein from grass-fed cows. One World Whey is truly the first undamaged whey protein. All other whey protein powders are damaged by heat, chemicals, and filtration. One World Whey is the most life-giving whey protein powder ever produced. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworldwhey.com.
Scott Bell Show. Well, welcome back to the Robert Scott Bell Show. We've got a very special guest now. We're talking about extraordinary healing, how the discoveries of Mirko Beljanski, the world's first green molecular biologist, can protect and restore your health. The author, his name is L. Stephen Coles. He's an MD and a PhD, a very smart guy, and the book is excellent. And we're going to cover some ways to address cancer outside of the realm of traditional allopathic oncology. Dr. Coles, welcome to the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
Glad to have you on board. My good friend David Steinman connected us, and I'm pleased to have you here. This is a very important book. And you know, what's interesting about this, beyond just the fact that we're talking about rolling back cancer through natural methodologies, is that there's a lot of science to support this. This isn't just, you know, theoretical. You have validated a lot of written in the book, Extraordinary Healing, here about a lot of things that validate this beyond just speculation.
Exactly. Beljanski was a researcher in Paris at the end of the last century, who was in a political conflict with some of the leaders of the Pasteur Institute in Paris, where he worked, because the current and dominant scientific theme at that time was that DNA was the source of inheritance and RNA was just a bystander in the process of expressing this DNA. You know, there's what we call the central dogma of Watson and Crick.
Yes.
James Watson and Francis Crick won the Nobel Prize for their establishing the mechanism of DNA reproduction. In fact, they had a wonderful paper published in Science back in the 1950s that said, in the last paragraph, like a one-letter paper, it has not escaped our attention that our representation of DNA as a double helix could explain how DNA replicates by itself. And that was like an understatement written by a British scientist, of course. And they went on to win the Nobel Prize. In fact, Watson, when I've talked to him about this, says that his Nobel Prize was the Nobel Prize compared to all the others in medicine and physiology.
He was not full of himself at all.
He is not known for being modest.
Yeah.
Anyway, Watson and Crick did this early work, and that was understood at the Pasteur Institute in Paris to be the central dogma in which DNA leads to RNA, another type of molecule, which is a single-stranded corkscrew or helix. And so instead of being a double helix RNA, the messenger RNA is a single strand of nucleotides that is copied from the template on the DNA. And, you know, in the biochemistry of all of this process, that was the pathway that leads to all the proteins in our body. And allows for the proper replication of cells in the normal pattern without going into a mode of becoming cancer. And so understanding that conventional approach, the French, you know, swallowed it hook, line, and sinker, except Beljanski was sitting out there thinking that maybe RNA was more important than DNA in explaining why we got cancer. And he did a lot of experiments in the lab that demonstrated that RNA could have therapeutic value in treating cancer that was not part of the establishment's view of how things worked. Now we know much more about this central dogma of Watson and Crick, that in fact RNA inside the nucleus is extremely important in establishing how the DNA and the genes are expressed. I need to step back a little bit and explain to the audience that our DNA in every nucleus of about 80 billion cells that we have, maybe even over 100 billion cells in an adult body,
yes,
has all of the chromosomes, like 22 pairs of autosomes and maybe two sex chromosomes, which are XX for females and XY for males. And all of those chromosomes have 3.1 billion base pairs of these nucleotides to represent the program that turns a human embryo into a fetus and then into a live birth and then evolving into an adolescent, from a toddler into an adult human being. The base pairs are sort of randomly distributed amongst the chromosomes, and genes are randomly distributed among each of our chromosomes.
When we say, Dr. Coles, randomly, I mean, that's a word that really strikes something here, because so much of the debate, if we go back to Watson and Crick and everything since then, you know, regards, well, genetic determinism, genetic expression, epigenetics now has become something extraordinary that kind of leaps us beyond this idea that it's all a blueprint that's been pre-printed and there's nothing you can do. And now we bring in, like Dr. Beljansky, the understanding of environment and how it interacts with genetics and causes gene expression to change, alter, even to the detriment to the point of what we call cancer.
Absolutely. That's correct. You know, the environment can result in alterations of the RNA and the epigenetic molecules that attach to DNA that creates RNA, where inside the nucleus, all of the machinery of the cell controls the expression of the actual genes. What I didn't say yet that I wanted to get to is that only about 2% of our DNA represents actual genes,
yes,
that convert to proteins that determine the molecular structure of our bodies or determine the enzymes that are used in biochemical reactions. And
a whopping,
so what is the 98% doing?
Yeah, exactly. You say that, Dr. Coles, a whopping 2%. You say, well, is it just a waste? Do we have, you know, is it storage bin? Is it what's going on with the other 98%? Is it just waiting to be a disaster, waiting to be something more extraordinary than we can imagine?
Well, absolutely not. The other 98% does have a purpose. I mean, originally, scientists referred to the 98% as junk DNA.
Yes, I remember.
They didn't know what it did, so it must be useless or worthless.
Isn't that amazing, actually, the arrogance of man? You know,
yeah,
saying that, well, yeah, this is junk. God just put that. Of course, you get into science and they say, well, we can't talk about spirituality. My perspective is that you can intersect the two. But real science is about questioning and finding the facts, not about, let's say, altering the facts to suit some kind of drug manufacturer's desire.
Exactly. So the RNA that is created by all of the 98% of what used to be called junk DNA is highly conserved. So it must be doing something useful. Otherwise, over many generations, that piece of the chromosome or the, you know, DNA profile would have become completely randomized. And in fact, if it's conserved from generation to generation, we know it has to be doing something useful. So now, instead of calling it junk, we call it the non-coding portion of the DNA to differentiate it from the part of the DNA that are what we call the genes that make the proteins that make our bodies. And there are only about 21 or 22,000 genes amongst all of our chromosomes. All of the rest, the 98% of the non-coding DNA, must have some useful purpose. Now, it's true that a lot of that, maybe 50%, is related to viruses that have infected human beings over many, many thousands of years, over many generations. And some of these virus sequences are no longer infectious viruses, but have been incorporated into our DNA and get replicated with every single generation that takes place.
Yeah, Dr. Coles.
Grandmothers to daughters to grandchildren.
Dr. Coles, I mean, that's another fascinating aspect of viruses not being infectious. In fact, some are speculating now that it could be part of DNA or genetic communication, or when cells are in distress, the expression or the escape, if you will. Suddenly you have genetic debris, exosomes sometimes are called. There's a lot yet to be discovered on this. I think Beljansky was so far ahead of his time in identifying the destabilized DNA or RNA, however you'd say it here, and then looking for a solution to restabilize, but beautifully looking for it in the natural environment as opposed to synthetically making toxic poisons like much of oncology depends upon.
Exactly. I think that to complete this part of the story,
yes,
Beljansky was looking at RNA as a primary molecule in the non-coding portion that would be used in what we call inhibition of the normal expression of the coding part of the DNA. So the RNAs are like a control system in order to express more or less of the messenger RNA from the individual genes in the coding portion, that 2%. And as a result, he tried out various experiments with mice that demonstrated that messenger RNA of the sort that is inhibitory, we call it RNAi, where the capital letters R, N, and A have a little I, lowercase I, for inhibition, to explain how it is that the expression of individual genes is so important in developing an organism and having all the cells know what their proper function is. And in fact, I have a theory, which is my personal idea, that all mammals that you see in a zoo, whether a giraffe or an elephant or a hippopotamus, cats and dogs and horses, mice and rats, all mammals have variation in what they look like as a species based upon the non-coding part of the DNA, which I think is RNAi, the inhibitory portion of RNA. And so when a cell goes nuts and starts reproducing like crazy, what we call cancer, that's when there's a breakdown in the machinery of the non-coding part. And putting in proper RNA to overcome this defect might be a direct way of inhibiting cancer.
Well, and that's the basis, is it not, for extraordinary healing. I'm interviewing right now Dr. Stephen Coles, L. Stephen Coles. He's an MD and PhD in new book, Extraordinary Healing, How the Discoveries of Mercury Beljansky, the world's first green molecular biologist, can protect and restore your health. Because some people might be glossing over, and I don't want that to happen, because it gets into some pretty egg-headed territory when we're talking DNA, RNA, RNAi. I recognize that. A lot of people are digging it, too. Don't get me wrong. But
okay,
the question is, how do we make this information practical? And that's what was, again, another beautiful thing about Dr. Beljansky, in that he took it to the practical, but he took it to the natural practical rather than the synthetic. And I want to take a break. Can you stick around for another segment?
Oh, you bet.
All right, we're going to talk with Dr. Cole some more about this. What was the leap that was made with this understanding, and how we could apply botanicals and natural substances in the promotion of restoration of integrity, genetic and otherwise, the reversal or prevention of cancers, breast, prostate, etc. And that's what we're going to be covering next. Don't go anywhere. This is very important stuff. Dr. Cole will be joining me again on the other side of this break on the Robert Scott Bell Show.
The Robert Scott Bell Show. Scott Bell Show.
Since the 1920s, people around the world have been using radio frequencies to safeguard the health of themselves and their families. Through this tested technology, pioneered by Royal Raymond Rife, researchers have found that specific radio frequencies can eliminate viruses, bacteria, molds, and parasites without harming normal healthy cells. Frequency technology could help millions now suffering from various infections, even arthritis, herpes, Lyme disease, and other painful chronic conditions. The BCX Ultra Frequency Instrument has been developed over a period of 30 years. The BCX Ultra is one of the most powerful healing tools ever. Turn ill health around. Enjoy life again. Start learning about the BCX Ultra today. Visit bioelectricsforhealth.com or call 1-800-936-6240. That's 1-800-936-6240. Call today and start the healing.
For thousands of years, silver has played an essential role in safeguarding human health. Robert Scott Bell Show listeners know that Sovereign Silver Bioactive Silver Hydrosol is the purest and most effective form of silver available. Only Sovereign Silver contains the smallest and most active particles in every bottle, each batch rigorously safety tested to guarantee the highest quality. At only 10 parts per million, Sovereign Silver outperforms other colloidal silvers 50 times more concentrated. Sovereign Silver acts faster than echinacea, oil of oregano, and other immune products. Tastes like water and has more uses than anything else for the immune system. And Sovereign Silver now comes in a topical first aid gel. Use Sovereign Silver gel on cuts, scrapes, minor burns, bug bites, itching, eczema, diaper rash, and more. Sovereign Silver is the number one selling silver brand in the U.S. For a free information packet to order or for a store near you, call 888-328-8840. That's 888-328-8840 or visit sovereignsilver.com.
Hi, this is the Health Ranger here inviting you to check out the National News Store. Yes, we have an amazing store offering superfoods and other healthy food items, including kitchen appliances like Vitamix blenders and food dehydrators, nut milk bags, lots of things for anyone who's interested in leading a healthier lifestyle. And here's another cool part about it. Because we have such a huge reach, millions of people a month that we're reaching who follow Natural News, we're able to get huge discounts on some really high-end superfoods and nutritional products. We offer those at ridiculously good prices on our specials page. You can find that right now at store.naturalnews.com. Just go to store.naturalnews.com and you'll see the current specials link on the left-hand column right at the top there. Click on that. You can check out the current specials. We've got superfoods at prices that are often 40 or 50% off. Check it all out at store.naturalnews.com.
Robert Scott the Bell
Robert
Show.
Scott Bell Show.
Fascinating interview right now on the Robert Scott Bell Show with the author of Extraordinary Healing, How the Discoveries of Mirko Beljanski, the world's first green molecular biologist, can protect and restore your health. Of course, all the links to the book and the author, Dr. L. Stephen Coles, are up at the blog at robertscottbell.com. If you haven't already gotten your email alerts, you haven't yet signed up at naturalnewsradio.com. Please do so. And of course, if you ever have any questions or comments, 866-939-BELL, 866-939-2355. We're talking about the amazing leaps here, and it's written about in this book, and it gets pretty intense scientifically, as we've just uncovered in the first segment together, Dr. Coles. Now, I get excited because now we can move to the practical. If we recognize and identify a problem, you know, at the level that Beljanski did, RNA, DNA, etc., now the question is, how do we restore integrity? How do we make manifest that good health that I believe nature is trying to, you know, promote and provide, but often man gets in the way or basically is dealing with such severe deficiencies that we have these aberrations on a genetic level?
Yes, indeed. But I wanted to make the listeners aware of some of the politics that were going on at the time when Beljanski worked at the Pasteur Institute
Sure.
in Paris. Because he had a whole laboratory that was doing this research, but he was not well respected by the director of the institute, whose name was Jacques Monod. And Jacques Monod was a famous scientist in his own right who won the Nobel Prize in Physiology and Medicine for research that he did on glucose metabolism in bacteria. But because of the disagreement about the importance of DNA and RNA, Monod fired Delchansky, essentially kicked him out of his institute, and he had to go work in another laboratory in Paris in order to continue his work at the practical level. And it happened by coincidence, the president of France at that time, named Mitterrand, had cancer and then requested that some of these RNA molecules that were therapeutically important in cancer be used to treat him. And it actually worked for a number of years before President Mitterrand died of the cancer. Maybe he lived 10 years longer than he might have otherwise without treatment.
I remember that story, and what you're bringing up is all too common, that when you have true scientists, genuine visionaries that are not limited by, like we talk pharmaceutical constructs, for instance, the profit-making machinery, and those who just simply are in the pursuit of the science, the facts, and they're often drummed out of their profession, ridiculed, marginalized, etc. And of course, Dr. Beljansky experienced some of that by being fired from the Pasteur Institute. Of course, I'm not a big fan of Louis Pasteur because I think he was a thief compared to the brilliance and genius of Antoine Bechamp and Claude Bernard, but prior to Pasteur, the time of Pasteur. But that's another story we do cover here on the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Indeed. Anyway, when all the Beljansky products were prohibited by the French government, there were protests by students in the streets. I mean, we have a photograph in the book which shows protesters marching in Paris saying, "Nous voulons les produits Beljansky." That is to say, we want to have these products made available.
Yeah, I see it in the book
that
right
they're
here.
Effective and they're not toxic because they're natural products.
Yes.
And it took a long time for the French government to yield on this.
Mm-hmm.
And Beljansky's daughter then moved to New York, where she started a company which is now selling these products on their website.
Yes, I've met Sylvie. She's an absolutely sweet woman. And, you know, I've talked to her many times with her beautiful French accent. And, you know, trying to, you know, literally continue on in the tradition of her father's brilliance to make sure that this is not lost to history, which I think is very important. And so it's another option for people considering, well, you know, what do I do if maybe I have, as they say, cancer running in the family? Now, we'll talk about environmental, of course, we've already acknowledged that. But, you know, people want to prevent it. What about those that have it? And there's such a restriction on the free flow of information here in America and in much of the world to, you know, open us up to the ideas that, yes, nature has all the answers and cures, in fact. And this is one that in the U.S. has to be basically sold as a supplement that can't really tell you what it does except for what's verified or validated in terms of structure and function. Is that not correct?
Yes, that is.
Yeah.
So you're right. Sylvie Beljansky is carrying on the torch that was started by her father back in Paris in order for individuals with cancer who are really suffering to be able to escape from the clutches of conventional oncology medicine. You know, if you can't remove a tumor surgically, then the only conventional alternatives today are to have chemotherapy, which is a sledgehammer on the body that kills all highly reproductive cells. Not just the cancer, but your hair follicles, for example. And that's why if you go in a shopping center from time to time and you see a child walking around with no hair, completely bald, it's probably because that individual is a patient suffering the consequences of chemotherapy. Not only does it cause hair loss, of course, it also attacks the cells in your gut lining, causing nausea and vomiting. So it's a very debilitating process to try to kill cancer cells indirectly, as while the innocent bystanders of your hair follicles and the lining of your gut are being destroyed by the chemotherapeutic agents. The same thing is true for radiation treatment, which is another alternative. And it turns out that, you know, conventional cancer treatment by oncologists is the blind leading the blind, because
yes,
we're not targeting the tumor cells specifically.
No, it's chemotherapeutic chicken, and it's not really chemotherapeutic. It's chemotoxic, in
yes,
truth. And in that case, you know, it's one thing to have it as an option, right, in a free market for medicine, which I believe would be a good thing. It's another thing to make it a monopoly and to attack any doctor, researcher, et cetera, that says, hey, there's another way. And we don't call for the banning of these horrible things that they do, even though, you know, I would like to see far less people avail themselves of traditional or allopathic oncology. But at the same time, they would work very hard against these researchers and even your work, that you would bring out this information that would now give people an option other than the traditional, you know, pharmaceutical approach, which seems to be, you know, a basic human right to know about these options and to make informed decisions about them.
Precisely. I agree 100%.
And you're in academia. I understand you teach at UCLA.
Yes, I have 75 graduate students and undergraduate students in my courses in gerontology and another one in the psychology of aging, in which we cover every aspect of the aging process and not just cancer, which is the number two killer after heart disease.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, it's important to mention that this research that was done in Paris many decades ago has been reproduced here in the United States at Columbia University by a couple of doctors that have demonstrated that Beljansky's approach, the natural, non-toxic therapy for cancer, really does work.
Yeah. Yeah, it is an amazing thing here. And, of course, in terms of all of the holistic options, this is a very viable one, very well studied and proven as well. The question is, though, how do people avail themselves of it? Now, if we're talking about a dietary supplement, wouldn't that indicate that somebody could go to a health food store or call up a number and actually take it safely themselves with or without doctor intervention?
Well, that would be ideal, but it's really difficult to go to a standard health food store and get these kinds of treatments available for cancer patients. I think that, you know, I should mention that Sylvie Beljansky has a website for her company that you should cite for the listeners, that people can go directly to her to get access to this treatment.
Oh, go ahead and give that website. I want everybody to have the opportunity and the option.
Yeah, so the website would be for the Beljansky Foundation, and you would go to http://www.beljansky.com. So that would be www.beljansky.com.
Great. Well, I'll definitely have that linked up in the blog notes for everybody to avail themselves of the information, learn more, because, you know, we can only cover so much in some short radio segments, of course, Dr. Coles, and I'm greatly appreciative of your dedication in picking up this work. What was it, if I may, go back to the beginning, what stimulated, obviously, if you're in the gerontology field and aging and such, you must have an interest in, obviously, diseases like cancer, but what was it that drew you in to Beljansky's work?
Well, it's because I have been tracking the genetics of aging. Let me explain that my fundamental research interest is in what we call super centenarians, people who have lived so long that they're not just 100 years old or centenarians, they're 110 or older. And currently in the world, there are 82 of these individuals. Actually, the majority of them are females, and we call that the woman's advantage, because there are only 5 men amongst all of the 83 total living worldwide today. And we've been doing this for like 20 years. If you go to our website, www.grg.org, you will find the current table, what we call Table E, of all the living supercentenarians worldwide. And we know that somehow the thing that all of these people have in common is long-lived relatives. Their parents were long-lived, their siblings or brothers and sisters were long-lived, probably their children will be long-lived, and of this commonality, we believe that it must be inherited in the genes. And so we are in the process with Stanford University and the Systems Biology Institute in Seattle, Washington, traveling around the world to get blood samples from these individuals to find out what their secret is. So I've always been interested in DNA analysis. And what we're going to do when we complete our study is to develop a database of the full sequences, not just the individual genes, but all parts of the DNA, including the non-coding DNA that I mentioned before, in order to compare them to a group of control individuals that are not so long-lived, to identify what are the genes that are most important in longevity. And so that fits in directly with my teaching gerontology at UCLA.
Sure, and it is somewhat controversial in the sense of we come back to what we talked about, genetic determinism, that everything's predetermined by inherited issues like inherited longevity or inherited cancer, or you know, like, and we don't want to overemphasize that because there are always environmental factors. You know, I hear about the, was it the Altiplano, you know, the high altitude living, some that were living to they didn't even know how old they were, but they were working the land almost to the day they died. When they knew they were going to die, they literally went into their hut and said peacefully their goodbyes, and they left without a disease per se. And these things are what we call natural deaths that we hardly know of any of them today.
Yes, because I'm very interested in human longevity and not just in working with laboratory mice. You know, I have looked at all of the myths of aging, such as people who lived in Vilcabamba, a village high in the Andes Mountains in South America, in Peru, on the border with Bolivia, to see if some of these claims were valid. And it turns out that when Professor Alexander Leaf of Harvard University went to visit them, he asked for documentation to prove their extreme longevity. And they said, oh, well, the church burned down in the year 1905, and so all our baptismal records are gone.
In other words, you couldn't validate it to the way we would normally keep records in our so-called modern cultures.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And therefore, you know, we are developing our tables and our statistical analysis based on very rigorous standards.
Yeah, so you're having to throw out a lot of the old stories to go, well, this is fascinating. I would like to talk to you more about this on top of our discussion here about extraordinary healing. Dr. Stephen Coles is the author of a new book, Extraordinary Healing, How the Discoveries of Mirko Beljanski, the World's First Green Molecular Biologist, Can Protect and Restore Your Health. And you mentioned a website. We've got them linked up at robertscottbell.com if you want to see that Table E that he mentioned about the supercentenarians at grg.org, as well as those of you interested more to learn about the methods that Dr. Beljanski had originally developed, the botanicals that can help to normalize, as I said, the RNA, DNA issues here and prevent reverse cancers. I'd love for you to do that. That's at beljanski.com. And, of course, you know, teaching at UCLA, do they tolerate somebody like you that's actually a real scientist? I mean, I have a lot of disappointing things that I've reviewed over the years about real scientists. They're not well-liked in academia.
Well, you know, my colleagues and I tend to specialize in different aspects. Fortunately, we have a visionary who was the director of the Molecular Biology Institute, which is affiliated in the Department of Chemistry and Biochemistry. So my office is actually not in the medical school, but in the building for chemistry.
Ah, and that explains it.
It's all a matter of academic politics as to whether or not you are in a university
right.
that appreciates the work that you do.
Yes. Well, I'm glad that, to hear that you're in a place where they do appreciate you. That'll allow for real science to take place. And hats off to all your great works. And I hope that we can talk again on this subject and many others. It's fascinating, to say the least.
Well, thank you so much for this opportunity.
That's Dr. L. Stephen Coles, and of course, available through Freedom Press. My good friend David Steinman, editor-in-chief there, as well as a doctor's prescription for healthy living, which I occasionally write for as well. Check it out online. I've got all the links up. Thank you for being here with Advanced Medicine Monday. Great advancement in the care of the body, particularly as it relates to cancer and beyond, longevity issues. Appreciate that time. Fascinating. We're going to be back after this with more powerful healing.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Pharmacological research from universities all over the world have proven that papaya supplements have tremendous health benefits. At the One Stop Health Shop, that's one-stop-health-shop.com, you'll find our international bestseller, Papaya Leaf Extract. Its natural probiotic formula supports your white blood cells, reduces oxidative stress, and strengthens your immune system. Papaya is one of the richest sources of antioxidants in the world and up to 20 times more powerful than vitamin E. One Stop Health Shop carries a large fermented papaya product selection. Our supplements are all natural, certified organic, GMO-free, and made right here in Australia. But they are shipped to you anywhere in the world free of charge. Take advantage of our limited time down under prices and order now. Don't wait. Visit the One Stop Health Shop. That's one-stop-health-shop.com for all your nutraceutical needs and get free shipping on all products ordered. one-stop-health-shop.com.
Hi, this is Robert Scott Bell, and I want to tell you about my great friends at Enterfood.com. Like me, the folks at Enterfood are fighting the good fight for your total health freedom. Their super green energy drink, Enterfood, is full of natural ingredients like spirulina and chlorella, which can improve your immune system and detox you from harmful radiation. Enterfood was voted best superfood by Mike Adams and the Southwest College of Naturopathic Medicine. Enterfood.com is one-stop shopping for all your health and survival needs. Try their meal replacement product for those watching their weight. Organic immune support coffee, cocoa, coconut milk powder, and herbal tinctures for your every need. Enterfood.com now has developed a new survival preparedness pail packed with all organic, tasty, non-GMO foods to get you and your family through any disaster. All of these great products are now available to you for a 10% discount when you mention the Robert Scott Bell Show. Call them to order at 866-762-9238. That's 866-762-9238. Or go to our product page at Enterfood.com. That's Enerfood.com.
You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I tell you why. Santa Claus is coming to town.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
He's making a list.
What's that I hear? Santa Claus? Santa Claus coming to town? What is this? Santa Claus, is he going to be bringing some more cancer cures like we just discussed with Dr. Coles? What's going on, Don?
Thanksgiving is over, so now it's the time that we're supposed to get into the Christmas spirit, right?
Okay.
It's, you know, you can't help it. You got to pull out the decorations and think about Christmas and think about Santa. And so, you know, I get home from Thanksgiving vacation and I sit down and I'm thinking, well, I wonder what might be Christmas related in the news. So I pull up the headlines and I came across something I really didn't want to see.
Oh, no, I see that picture now. Don, no. That gives a new
Listen,
meaning
Robert,
to jingle bells.
We've been talking about the cancer thing, right? For a long time, the pink ribbons and waving hands and dancing people in the hospitals making videos and stuff for cancer, right?
Yes.
Everybody wants to do something for cancer. Well, apparently some people in Berwick, Pennsylvania decided to get kind of into the Christmas spirit to try and do something for breast cancer. Unfortunately, it has to do with hundreds of Speedo-clad Santas running for breast cancer.
You know, I think that this could be an effective cure because cancer will run and hide. I mean, you want to scare cancer away? This is the way to do it.
But, yeah, this is an interesting picture. Hundreds of people stripped down in Pennsylvania for the third annual Santa Speedo Run.
I promise you, you don't want to see these Christmas tree ornaments. Don't open it. I'll warn you.
Goodness, there's even a video there, and it shows the Santas running down the street in Speedos. So I just, you know, when they say that Santa has a big package for you, not what I thought.
Ouch.
Oh, did I say that?
Don, come on. I don't know if that fits within a Christmas holiday theme, really. But this Santa Speedo Run benefits what? Guess what? Breast cancer research. So it's another classic ruse, a classic lie, tying in the Christmas spirit to something that is actually evil because it's deceptive. Honestly, they're learning again. How do we raise money for the pharmaceutical industrial complex? And of course, they'll be delivering lumps of coal to all the women and men who are suffering genuinely, who would normally seek the cures we can talk about here. Whether it be the Beljansky protocol we just talked about, or whether it be things that Dr. Batar and I discuss, or whether it be selenium, whether it be detoxification of heavy metals and all these things that are so prevalent in the cause of the breast cancer they deny knowing a cause of. Oh, it's all in your genes. Well, you can't say that because Santa's not wearing any.
No kidding. Not in this case. You know, and look, these people are out there, they're well-intentioned.
Yeah, good intentions.
They think they're doing the right thing, and it's not that we don't want to cure breast cancer. The problem is that they want to do it their way, and we know a far better way of doing this, that there are other options out there other than slash and burn.
Yeah, well, exactly right. So, we'll raise the awareness on that one. Hopefully, we can get past the imagery and still do some more Christmas
things. Do you think people would pay to see the Robert Scott Bell Show guys in Speedos for doing something for breast cancer?
No, Don. You know, I used to be a competitive swimmer years ago, so it was a normal thing to wear. It was only later that you learned out that's not – don't wear that.
Yeah, if anybody saw me in a Speedo, it would give them retinal cancer.
Well, you get back into the concept of then the jams and the surfing shorts and swim trunks, so to speak, that seem to be more manly than the old Speedo. How do we get up talking on Advanced Medicine Monday about Speedos? This is really, really frightening.
I don't know. We'll try and use some mind bleach and get rid of that image, but
I think we just had to balance out the high-level scientific falutin talk that we just had with Dr. Coles and probably some more with Dr. Batar as well, with a little irreverence and Christmassy humor, and also throwing in some genuine cancer cures along the way. That's a good Christmas gift, I think.
I like it.
Yeah. Well, extraordinary healing, extraordinary Santas, extraordinary Speedos. I don't know where we can go from here. Actually, I'm very curious to hear what Dr. Batar has to say, updating on his wife. Remember last week we learned his wife had tried to separate two dogs that were in a fight and had the tip of her finger bitten off, which is horrific. But we talked about some things on the air, a little bit off the air, about regeneration. And I'll be curious to hear if there's any kind of evidence of some regeneration of the tissue and the finger as well. Because, you know, Batar, he's not going to sit and rest on his laurels. He's advanced medicine all the way.
Maybe you should ask him what he thinks about Santa clad Speedo wearing. Or no, excuse me. What was it? Speedo clad Santa's running for breast cancer. I'd be interested.
Yeah, if the Speedos were wearing Santa, I don't know.
No.
That is so bizarre. It is so bizarre. Listen, 866-939-BELL is the phone number here on the Robert Scott Bell Show. We appreciate everybody spreading the word about health, freedom, and healing like nowhere else in media, 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. If those of you who missed my Sunday show on GCN, you'll see the link, in fact, in today's show notes at robertscottbell.com. Once again,
and that was a good one. If they missed it, they need to listen to that. That was a sensational show.
I can tell you, we have gotten a lot of great feedback from it. I gave a lot of detailed information, not only about acne, but about cardiovascular disease. We did some radiation detox stuff. My good friend Bill Stanton joined us, Chris Barr, as well as Stephen Hewer. So, yeah, it was a barn burner of a way to end the Thanksgiving holiday weekend. So give a listen to that. We're going to take a quick break here. We'll be back with Advanced Medicine Monday. Dr. Batar returns to the Robert Scott Bell Show. Thank you to Dr. Coles. Thank you to Super Don. And we got to rock this world, rock this health world even more after this break, because the power to heal is yours.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
It's my life, and it's now or never. 'Cause I ain't gonna live forever.
to the Robert Scott Bell Show. If you would like to participate, you can call Robert at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL. And now, it's time to wake up! Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
Things really suck, but you know what? If it wasn't for me, they would suck worse.
What are you talking about? What do you mean by that?
Robert Scott Bell.
No family making less than $250,000 a year will see any form of tax increase.
That's a lie. That's just an outright lie.
Why don't you tell the people the truth for a change?
Robert Scott
Robert
Bell.
Scott Bell.
I don't know why people on the other side are so doggone stupid that they think that the federal government's going to produce jobs.
Stupid is, stupid does, sir.
I want to see that we guarantee that this generation is healthier.
You don't want to go to a naturopath or a homeopath? No, no, no. That's not approved by the government.
Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom and making sense out of medical propaganda. The voice of health, freedom, and liberty, Robert Scott Bell.
From Speedo-clad Santas running for breast cancer research to prop up the pharmaceutical industrial complex, we go to the real science, the real advanced medicine. Of Dr. Rasha Bitar here on the Robert Scott Bell Show. Advanced Medicine Monday continues. Dr. Bitar, I'm so glad to have you back on board.
As always, Robert, it's great to be here.
Well, the big concern I have and many of our listeners have, Dr. Bitar, is how is your wife? Nat, last week you revealed the she tried to break up a dogfight, lost the tip of a finger. We talked some on the air, some off the air about some things, and I know you're always into innovation and truly advanced medicine. I have to imagine things are going well, but hey, I don't want to assume anything, so give us the update.
Well, actually, as mentioned before, she lost the distal portion of the distal phalanx, which is essentially, if you look at the fingers in three sections, that distal section, the third section, she lost half of it right there at the nail bed. And it actually remarkably appears like it's starting to grow back. We're using some stem cell-based products that actually are harvested from the bladder of pigs. It's pretty innovative stuff. Well over 100 fingers have been regrown, and they're using it in other types of surgeries as well, decubitus ulcers, in wounds that are difficult to heal, diabetic wounds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard of this. Are they injecting this or just putting it on the site? I mean, how is this utilized?
It's actually a powder-based substance, and it's used during the dressing change process, done every 48 hours. And with the fingers, at least, it has grown back fingers, and it's done some other pretty interesting things. They obviously are restricted to what they can't say that it'll do. Or
of course, it's always the case. Freedom of speech doesn't exist for innovation and healing.
Exactly, exactly. So I have gotten some initial baseline pictures of when my wife got injured, and then I've taken some pictures since then. And I'm going to keep track about every week on the pictures. And once we've got it all said and done, I'm going to post them and let people see for themselves. But I'm pretty excited about this particular product. And in fact, with the company, I'm supposed to be talking with the CEO and president of the company sometime this coming week. And they've already gotten into a number of hospitals. They're using them quite extensively in certain surgical centers. And as far as the products are concerned,
yeah.
We'll see what happens. But very, very promising technology. And obviously the application of this, if it's utilizable in wound healing and chronic type ulcers, the applications for other type of regeneration are quite within reach. And I believe this company is working on that now. Of course, we're not talking organs and such, but certainly joints and mm-hmm. other types of ligamentous, tendinous, cartilaginous type healing process.
Yeah, some of the connective tissue. I'm really excited to hear about these strides being made. So much has been focal pointed on stem cells harvested from aborted fetal tissue. We're not talking about that here. And a lot of the innovation we've discussed and I've covered on this show over the years also comes from, endogenous, so to speak, stem cells as well. So there's a lot of innovation that's happening. It's nice to hear, I'm sorry that your wife has had to go through this, but I think we may learn some good things from it, as we always are intending to do with every situation that occurs with us. We talked about the use of silver as well, and I think that this is a an exciting future. Well, last week before you came on the show last week, I had a dentist that I met recently who was a chemist originally. She does mercury-free, non-toxic type dentistry, and she's working with some technologies where they'll actually plug up the tissue when they pull a tooth, and it regenerates into bone tissue and gum tissue based on spinning out the stem cells from the blood of the person that they're actually extracting from. So there are some really exciting advanced medicine options that are developing out here.
Yeah, actually, the use of adult stem cells that are harvested from the individual prior to administration has been quite widespread and has been utilized for a number of years in cancer patients. Adult stem cells are not considered to be as pluripotent as the embryonic or the umbilical stem cells, but they certainly seem to be, at least in the research that I've reviewed, a very, very viable source of getting stem cells. Now, these substances that we're using with my wife's finger, they're actually not stem cells. They're based upon the same concept as stem cells, where they're actually taking the basement membrane of the cells within the bladder of pigs, and the bladder has very significant regenerative properties in all species, but they're harvesting this from specifically grown pigs. At a certain age, they harvest the bladder, and then they take that lining that they scrape, and then they take the basement membrane, or the basement matrix, if you will, of the cells that they're harvesting. And so it's got all the precursors and all the constituents that are necessary in order for the tissue to regrow, and it's providing all those nutrients, that matrix, if you will, that
right.
framework, if you will.
And so the body treats this as a neutral scenario. I mean, we've talked about certainly organ rejection and things, and replacing the organs versus putting in things that are precursors that don't tend to have that kind of level of differentiation that the body would say, hey, get that out of here.
Right, exactly. This is not like taking a graft from one tree and putting it in another tree. This is more like taking optimum fertilizer and nutrients and pouring it into the soil that the tree is growing in to allow the tree to regenerate.
Good analogy. That's a good visual there. So in the case of your wife, some of my listeners were very concerned that she got a tetanus shot and that she might have had antibiotics. Did you do your special thing and help detoxify her to make sure she's safe?
Monday, first thing in the clinic, she was there. She got her ozone. She got her EDTA, DMPS. Actually, I don't think she got EDTA because it's been a while since she's had a maintenance room, but she got her DMPS, and tomorrow, which is Tuesday, she's going to be getting her EDTA.
Oh, beautiful. Well, like I said, everybody's concerned, and I appreciate everybody's concern for that, for your wife as well. And it's fascinating, too. Again, we learn a lot from our own injuries and other things, but sometimes our loved ones and family members can benefit from the knowledge that you have as well. And if anybody else finds them in a situation like this, and also, as fascinating as any discussion we had last week about the lack of the standard of care within emergency trauma surgery type centers, ERs, I guess it shouldn't be shocking to anybody when you realize and read some of the stats that are out there, but to see it firsthand the way you did certainly hopefully gave pause for people so that their eyes are wide open should they ever find themselves in that situation.
Well, it's a funny thing that you bring this up because I actually have observed this numerous times. In fact, every hospital that I've ever worked at, the first or second week that I was there, there was always a engagement, if you will, between the head of the ER department's nursing staff and myself, or possibly one of the other doctors, because this type of scenario I've always had a very low tolerance for, and it happens constantly where certain simple things that should never be violated are violated almost virtually on an hourly basis, which is, for example, we take out a needle from the sterile container, and then we set it down. If it's been set down, and especially if it doesn't have the lid on it, but even if it does have the lid on it and without a syringe on it, if it's sat down and then you walk away from it and you come back, you do not pick up that needle and put it on a syringe and inject a patient. You absolutely just don't do that because you don't know where they got knocked down. Somebody saw it, picked it up, put it back on the container, on the table. You don't know. And yet it happens on a constant basis. And not only just emergency rooms, but throughout the hospital. These are simple components. When you take a IV, for instance, and you spike that IV, or you take a needle that's at the end of IV and you spike a Heplock into the patient, you always take some type of aseptic solution, alcohol swab, something, to wipe the hepsite or to the Heplock site or right. where the IV is hanging where it gets spiked. You always wipe that with something that's aseptic, like an alcohol swab or some other type of antibacterial, just simply because it's been sitting there. It's already in a very contaminated environment. As we know, yes. Robert, the hospitals are the leading cause of infectious diseases such as MRSA, for instance.
Right.
Why? Because these nosocomial infections that people are suffering from are essentially concentrated in one building, the hospital. And so you have the community-acquired pneumonias, and then you have the pneumonias that are more resistant. Because in a hospital, you have people that are coming in constantly that are all sick, and the pneumonia will basically the pathogen will mutate and adapt to whatever the antibiotics or whatever the treatments are, and so these become drug resistant strains that are very bugs. Super bugs, exactly. That's exactly what they are.
And you said a word, Dr. Bitar. I don't want to assume everybody, especially new to the show, nosocomial infections. I mean, this is basically a fancy way of saying hospital acquired infections, doctors causing infections.
Yeah, the medical profession has its own lingo for certain things. Nosocomial infection, which sounds, very horrific, is essentially something that is created by the medical profession, essentially because these are bugs that are growing in hospitals. Iatrogenic is my favorite one.
Yes.
If you say that this is an iatrogenic etiology, the person will be very concerned. Oh, my God, what kind of disease process do I have? Well, iatrogenic means, as you know, Robert, doctor-induced, doctor-caused. But we give our own terminology to it so that when we explain this to a person, they don't understand what iatrogenic means. Yet it's a nice, glossy way of covering up that we cause a problem.
Oops. Yeah, I know. And it sounds very technical. Most people will not ask. They'll say, oh, my gosh, it's really – well, whatever you got to do, doc, take care of it. It's like,
exactly.
But, doc, you caused it. You know, they don't want you to know that. Then you might be thinking, maybe I should go somewhere else where I can actually get some help.
Well, this is the problem with our medical profession as it stands right now. We have too many accepted as always having been done, therefore it must be correct thought processes going on.
Mm-hmm.
And many of these thought processes lead to these super bugs. In fact, as far back as 1993, I believe it was, in one of the emergency medicine journals that I had been subscribed to at that time, I remember reading an article, and mind you, this is almost 20 years ago. They were talking about how 70-some percent, I don't remember the exact percentage, but it was over 70% of the ear infections that are seen in an emergency room are all from a viral etiology, are caused by a virus. And yet, the most commonly prescribed pharmaceutical for these people that are coming to the emergency room is an antibiotic. Now, antibiotics will only work against bacteria. They don't work against viruses. In fact, if you give somebody an antibiotic for a virus, it will actually increase the duration of that illness. So, and then, of course, it also promotes the virus is not being negated by the antibiotic. The antibiotic suppresses the good endogenous bacteria that is present. Then the virus turns into a secondary bacterial infection because you just got rid of all the good bacteria, so the bad bacteria now proliferates. And so you create this god-awful chain of events that just perpetuates and gets worse and worse and worse.
Hmm.
And so back then, and this is like almost 20 years ago, this study was published or this article was published, and they were talking about how the most important thing for an emergency medicine physician to do for an ear infection is not presume that it's bacterial and give an antibiotic, but rather treat it symptomatically first to make sure that it doesn't resolve within 2 or 3 days. And yet, the vast majority of the emergency medicine professionals didn't pay attention to this, and that's one reason we have so many ear infection issues nowadays. Of course, a lot of it, you and I also know, it's just the way the mothers feed the children.
Right.
It's a lot to do with the vaccine suppressing the immune system,
yes.
So they become more susceptible to
exactly.
these illnesses, because all the kids that I know that have not had vaccines don't get sick. They don't get the ear infections. They don't get the colicky symptoms. They don't get the whooping coughs and all these types of things.
Yes, and it backs up the releases coming out through meta-analyses and studies of vaccinated versus unvaccinated populations. and how we're seeing the healthier of the two populations are actually the unvaccinated ones, which confirms our observations over many years now within our own families, much less those that we've seen over the years. And in fact, there's a great article, Sane Vax and Vax Truth, have brought out about five lies, basically, five ways doctors are seducing mothers into getting their babies vaccinated. We should go through those, and we'll do a lot more. In fact, there's a big action alert as well, and this relates to the Terrain for Freedom or Terrain for Tyranny here in America, and I want to reveal that with Dr. Bitar as well, coming up in the next one or two segments. So stay with us on the Robert Scott Bell Show, special edition, as always, of the Advanced Medicine Monday or Medical Rewind with Dr. Rashid Bitar, 866-939-BELL. If you ever have a question, 866-939-2355. If you're listening through naturalnewsradio.com, go ahead and enter your email address. We'll send you out daily alerts. And, of course, all the show notes and links to Dr. Bitar's wonderful book, The 9 Steps to Keep the Doctor Away, are also there at robertscottbell.com. We'll be right back.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hello, this is Jonathan Wagner. We have an internet website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, that carries many of the products discussed on Robert's show, including 100% whole food chromium and selenium, silica, as well as sovereign silver and Nordic naturals. ChooseToBeHealthy.com features the Rolls Royce of probiotics. It's Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. Dr. O'Hara, a world-renowned microbiologist, formulated a unique probiotic that blends ancient Japanese fermentation methods with 21st century technology. No refrigeration is needed. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics contains the strongest lactic acid bacteria known to man based on scientific laboratory research. 6.25 times stronger. Quite simply, it works and works very well. So go to our website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, or call us toll-free, 866-424-1077. That's 866-424-1077. We're here to help.
Since the 1920s, people around the world have been using radio frequencies to safeguard the health of themselves and their families. Through this tested technology, pioneered by Royal Raymond Rife, researchers have found that specific radio frequencies can eliminate viruses, bacteria, molds, and parasites without harming normal healthy cells. Frequency technology could help millions now suffering from various infections, even arthritis, herpes, Lyme disease, and other painful chronic conditions. The BCX Ultra Frequency Instrument has been developed over a period of 30 years. The BCX Ultra is one of the most powerful healing tools ever. Turn ill health around. Enjoy life again. Start learning about the BCX Ultra today. Visit bioelectricsforhealth.com or call 1-800-936-6240. That's 1-800-936-6240. Call today and start the healing.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
There have been some amazing, revelations coming out over the past weeks, months, and even years, but certainly it's accelerating. And Dr. Bitar has seen it firsthand, as have I, so much of the damage of vaccination to children, of people, of planet Earth. And there's a new article about five things that are being done to seduce moms into continuing to get these things for their kids. But I thought we'd talk about some of our observations first, Dr. Bitar, because we've seen so much with our, you know, from our own experience to our own kids to those that have been brought to see us. And it is a really an amazing thing. And we'll look back again in history, in our history that we're living right now, and say, how did we ever fall for or get duped by those vaccines or the vaccine mongers?
I totally agree with you, because, you know, the things that we're talking about, where you mentioned the studies that have been done looking at vaccinated populations versus unvaccinated populations and looking at the incidence of autism or other neurodegenerative type delays. Well, let's just talk about just some of the other very, very basic things that you see in a child, or in fact, even in a mother that has abstained from getting vaccinations before she got pregnant. Let's say that she's been relatively clean. Meaning, let me make sure that I preface this correctly.
Sure.
The Centers for Disease Control and the NHANES data that was released in 2003 clearly established that one out of six women of childbearing age in the United States was mercury toxic. So we have to take that into consideration. So when I talk about somebody being clean, I mean that they not. I'm not talking about, you know, hygiene wise. I'm talking about clean, meaning toxicity wise.
Yes.
So the vast majority of women do have certain levels of metals in their bodies, when you take into consideration that one out of six are mercury toxic, then how many more of them are, how many of those rest of the five out of six may not be classified, quote, as toxic, but just high mercury elevated levels inside their systems. And then, of course, they pass this on to the fetus in utero. So now you look at the babies being born, that once they've been born, whether you look at the environmental working group studies and research that I had mentioned on the show before a couple of times in 2004, they checked placental cord blood in newborn babies born the first day of the planet. They checked for various chemicals and metals, and they found 287 of these chemicals and metals present out of the 413 that they checked for. And this is just on the first day on the planet. So these children haven't even had the vaccines yet. It's all from, and haven't been exposed to the various pollutants. It's all from the exposure from what the mother was carrying in her system. Mm. So when we take that into full consideration and we bring this full circle, we start to realize that the implications of these various vaccines that people are getting, these various types of preventive therapies that children are being administered, are actually having quite a detrimental effect within the patient population.
Well, it's a piling on here at this point, because you mentioned, what, 287 chemicals from the get-go, and there's probably more in some cases, and now you've got that that over-the-top scenario. It's not that we would ever endorse and say, oh, yes, injecting something like mercury or mercury derivatives and other things would be safe, but let's say you're not assaulted with 287 chemicals right from the get-go. You might have a resilience that others would not have. And again, I say this with all, hopefully all clarity, that that is not an endorsement of vaccines being safe. It's just a matter of recognition that as we've seen more and more of these chemical and toxicological insults and assaults to the human species, each generation is loaded further and further. And that's why we're seeing more damage, more right away type damage to the vaccinations, whereas we might have seen the damage chronic and accumulate over time into adulthood or even old age. We're seeing more immediate responses as we see the acceleration of the autism spectrum, et cetera, et cetera.
It's not just the autism spectrum,
no,
Robert. You start looking at the incidence of stroke, myocardial infarction, stage four cancers. They're all becoming more and more prevalent in the younger, quote, younger patient population. It used to be that you did not see a very aggressive form of cancer until a person hit their 40s, 45s, you know, or you saw it in the real young children, 3, 4, 6, 8, and then basically after that, between the age of 8 to about 35, 40, people just didn't really get cancers. Yet I'm seeing more and more patients, 25, 28, 30. I've had just this year in 2011, I've had treated more than 6 stage 4 cancer patients between the ages of 20 and 30,
right,
which is conventionally considered to be the lowest years as far as the incidence of cancer. You've got some exception to that, like soft tissue sarcoma, maybe, that you see in women around their, you know, early 20s, or maybe osteosarcoma, which is something that's seen usually in the adolescent years. But you don't see lung cancer in 20-year-olds. You don't see adrenal cancer in 25-year-olds. Mm-hmm. You don't see colon cancer in 28-year-olds. And yet that's exactly what I have observed in the last year in my practice. I've had patients with types of cancers that you normally don't see till their people are in their 50s, 60s, 70s, and these people are in their, you know, early 20s to mid-20s. I mean, melanoma in a 29-year-old male professional athlete, I mean, how do you see that?
Incredible. What we're seeing are, you know, indeed what we're acknowledging to be called vaccine-induced diseases. And in addition to these things, the autoimmune diseases, the MS, seeing a lot more of the rheumatoid arthritis in young girls in particular, you know, autoimmunity happening in younger and younger ages. I mean, these are horrific. They're not because children are living longer.
Yeah, exactly. This is, you know, you're thinking the autoimmune type conditions like systemic lupus, erythematosus, looking at the myasthenia gravis, and as you mentioned, the MS type of picture. This is all toxicity related. And some people say, well, that has nothing to do with vaccines. Of course, it has everything to do with vaccines, because you just went in and annihilated the immune system, and it caused the immune system to go into a hyper-vigilant state because it's trying to self-preserve itself. And so now you've got a hyper-immune response and causes an autoimmune type scenario to be set up. So
sure,
it has everything to do with the vaccinations. In fact, the incidence of asthma, if you look at asthma and the history of those individuals with significant vaccination histories versus people that have never had any vaccines, and the incidence of asthma in that patient population, you will see a very significant correlation there.
Yeah, well, we're talking about the depletion of trace minerals like selenium, lack of glutathione production, detoxification pathways corrupted, eliminated altogether, and what did we expect would happen? Now, this is in, you know, complete opposition, shall we say, to the children that we see, whether they be our own or others, that are not vaccinated, and we see accelerated development of not an abnormal nature, but what we would see maybe returning back to what we should expect from healthy humans that are minimally toxicologically assaulted, because we recognize we can't eliminate everything on planet Earth right now. But how much is our potential for growth, for development, for acceleration, for intelligence and everything else, when at least we prevent the medical profession from assaulting the least able to defend themselves among us, the children?
You know, that's a very good point. And then you start looking at this other component too, Robert, to add to your point.
Mm-hmm.
When our children that haven't been vaccinated go to school, the supposition is that the children that are unvaccinated are a risk to those that are vaccinated, which is actually moronic if you think about it, because the children have been vaccinated. They're supposedly theoretically already protected, but clearly that's not the case. And in fact, these children that are vaccinated end up being carriers, and they're constantly sick because their immune systems are lower, and then they cause that infectious process to perpetuate, and the children that haven't been vaccinated, they start getting sick, although their immune systems are viable and intact. Perfect example, my son, every time he goes to school, within 2 weeks, he gets sick because he's caught something from the other kids. During the summer, during breaks, you know, he's fine, no sickness, nothing. But then he gets this upper respiratory type thing, and he's coughing, he's sneezing, because all these other kids, they've, you know, it's essentially schools are like cesspools of, you know, the kids are, whether or not there's a personal hygiene component in there. I'm sure kids, you know, sticking their hands in their mouths all the time. They're not washing their hands as frequently. They're kids.
Sure.
But then on top of that, if a child's sick and he starts passing this stuff around, and we know that the vast majority of colds and flus and those types of infectious diseases are transmitted not from the air as most people think. Mm-hmm. It's actually from mouth to hand, hand to object, object back to the other person's hand, and then back into the mouth. That's how the
And we're seeing the impact on these children who are gastrointestinally inflamed and challenged due to vaccines, antibiotics, additives, preservatives, colorings, flavorings. They don't have the same defense mechanism. And as we say, the healthier kids may still so-called succumb. I mean, they'll usually come through it faster. They'll appropriately detox and respond by throwing this stuff out much more violently, which is truly the acute response in a healthy child. Even fever, which is a healthy response that many kids who are chronically ill lack the vitality to muster a fever much over a 101, 102, which is not really a powerful fever compared to healthy children that can muster a 103 or 104.
Well, that's another good point that you bring up, because remember, the fact that a person gets a fever, the fact the person gets sick and that actually has symptoms is a good sign, because that indicates that their immune system is intact and viable.
And powerful.
Exactly. Unfortunately, most people that end up getting terminal diseases like cancer, for instance, if I've heard this once, I've heard it 1,000 times, where people come up, I don't understand how I got cancer. I've never been sick a day in my life. That is not
a concern.
Good sign.
You're right. I mean, the development and the normal interaction with the microbial world, or even the toxicological world, the detox pathways, fever, infection, I mean, normal parts of life. And of course, we recognize these things that the medical profession frightens us. And we'll get into the myths, too, that they're trying to frighten moms even today about. But in fact, it strengthens us, just like a workout. It isn't that we, you know, throw our kids into a vat of Ebola and say, swim. I mean, that's not what we're talking about. Use common sense. But at the same point in time, the fever is a very powerful learning tool and a very powerful workout, if we will, for the system to develop all that the vaccine industry says they want to develop artificially, which they never really do without assaulting and destroying the immune system.
Yeah, I could not concur more, Robert. That's a common misconception among the mainstream public, that the pharmaceuticals are there to enhance the immune response and enhance the body. Whereas in actuality, it's doing quite the opposite.
Yeah.
Although there may be some symptomatic relief for that particular moment in time, the vast majority of these things have a detrimental effect. For instance, Motrin, yes, you'll bring the symptoms of the body aches down, and maybe the person feels a little bit better because the fever's come down, but you've actually modulated that normal immune response, and you've caused further inhibition of the prostaglandins that will eventually, if not monitored in a proper way, the individual will end up having propensity of developing ulcers. That'll be implications on the renal parenchyma, how well the kidneys are functioning.
Yes.
So there's so many other components to this, and I think that the majority of people don't look at those other consequences downstream. They only look at that immediate response. I've got this problem. I need a quick fix. And that, again, comes back to what we've discussed before, the societal expectations, perhaps, mm-hmm. of immediate relief or immediate fix.
Yeah, the what's normal is not healthy, although it's become normal, unfortunately. You have to go back into the history books to learn what a real healthy normal is. I liken the absurdity and the upside downness of our culture in that people that can go through the drive-thru at a fast food restaurant and eat it and supposedly nothing happens, they don't get any symptoms, they say, well, look how strong I am. And if you can eat at one of those places and not get, at least get diarrhea, I tell them there's a problem there. You are not healthy. You're not responding appropriately to poison or toxin food.
That's a very good point. I used to tell people all the time, too, that, look, I can eat a Taco Bell and I don't have any kind of problem. But I also was very, very toxic. Mm-hmm. And now I have a difficult time. If I do break down and eat something at a fast food restaurant, which happens very rarely, but mm-hmm. if I do, within 6 to 8 hours, I'm cursing myself.
Yeah, you should. And your body is telling you, hey, what are you doing? I remember it during my healing process, early phases, when I was starting – well, I thought I was getting worse, but my mentor told me I was getting better when I started basically having a violent high fever. And I thought, oh my gosh, I'm dying. He says, congratulations, this is your first step on your recovery. You actually have the energy and strength to have a fever to, kick some stuff out that you've been harboring for years because you didn't have the energy to deal with it.
That's a very good point. This is one of the reasons that a fever is an indication to me that everything is going well. And mm-hmm. in fact, that the person has not had a fever. And then I'm just giving you a scenario in my practice.
Sure.
A person that we've treating for cancer, for instance, has not had a fever for the first 2 or 3 weeks, and then they start having a fever. And I'm asking them, have you had any problems with night sweats? Have you had any problems with fevers? And they'll tell me, well, I did, 6 months ago, 7 months ago, right around when my cancer was diagnosed. But that stopped after I had my chemo, and now I don't have that problem anymore. Hmm. And 3 weeks into the treatment, they'll start feeling a little febrile, and by the mm-hmm. 4th week after the ER sodas, they'll start having that fever, and they're starting to feel the night chills. And this is, again, a phase, because I don't expect that to last. I expect that to come, and then it goes, because now the immune system is not only that's an indication the immune system's coming back.
Yes.
But then the sign that the immune system is taken over and is in control is when the fevers and the night sweats and the chills mm-hmm. will stop, because that means the immune system has not done its job and it's actually active and it's got the upper hand and it's working and the body doesn't need to respond anymore with those mm-hmm. fevers. But it's usually a period of 4, 6, sometimes 8 weeks that the person will start having these fevers,
yeah.
and then they'll slowly start to abate on their own. And that's an indication for me. I know that the immune system is being modulated. In fact, that's the second step in the 3 foundations of health that I discussed in the book.
Yes.
The second one is immune modulation.
Isn't that beautiful? I love this. This is the kind of stuff never gets revealed out there in the old media and not much of the new media, quite honestly. This is real advanced medicine with Dr. Bintar here on the Robert Scott Bell Show. We're going to take a break. We'll go through those 5 myths they're trying to frighten moms to get their kids vaccinated, as well as there's an action alert on the political front. If you want freedom, you want liberty, you're going to have to stay with us. The Robert Scott Bell Show continues with Dr. Bintar after this.
The Robert Scott Bell Show. Pharmacological research from universities all over the world have proven that papaya supplements have tremendous health benefits. At the One Stop Health Shop, that's one-stop-health-shop.com, you'll find our international bestseller, Papaya Leaf Extract. Its natural probiotic formula supports your white blood cells, reduces oxidative stress, and strengthens your immune system. Papaya is one of the richest sources of antioxidants in the world and up to 20 times more powerful than vitamin E. One Stop Health Shop carries a large fermented papaya product selection. Our supplements are all natural, certified organic, GMO-free, and made right here in Australia. But they are shipped to you anywhere in the world free of charge. Take advantage of our limited time down under prices and order now. Don't wait. Visit the One Stop Health Shop. That's one-stop-health-shop.com for all your nutraceutical needs and get free shipping on all products ordered. one-stop-health-shop.com.
Hey there, this is Mike. Got a couple of things you may want to check out. Did you know about the website counterthink.com? These are some really hilarious, freedom-oriented, health-oriented, even political cartoons that you got to check out. counterthink.com. And if you want to know what's in your food, go check out foodinvestigations.com. where you've got a bunch of free mini documentaries, little videos there that you can watch that will show you what's in your food and what's not in your food. We talk about Total Blueberry Pomegranate Cereal made by General Mills. Did you know it has no blueberries in it and no pomegranates? We got the video right there on foodinvestigations.com. And if you really want to know what's in your food, your medicine, your personal care products, and so on, head over to naturalnews.com. We're publishing about 12 articles a day now, everything from healing superfoods to the dangerous chemicals in your products, foods, and medicines. Naturalnews.com. Check it out.
Why is it so many people suffer from so many illnesses today? Why don't doctors know how to help you? Could it be that our doctors don't know how because there's a nutrition solution and they only know about drugs? Over 68 diseases are connected to a deficiency of glutathione. The missing ingredient to increasing your body's production of glutathione is cysteine. Raising your glutathione production protects you from cancer, heart disease, Parkinson's, macular degeneration, lung disease, digestive diseases, diabetes, Alzheimer's, ALS, rheumatoid arthritis, and lupus. Nature's richest source of cysteine is unheated whey. Heating can damage much of the cysteine. One World Whey is the first undamaged whey protein on the market. Using One World Whey may support optimal glutathione production unlike any other food or supplement you've ever taken. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's one world, W-H-E-Y.com.
Robert Scott.
I'm a warrior, okay, and that's what I bring to the table.
Robert Scott.
What's wrong with us, anyhow? Are we going soft?
Robert Scott.
All real Americans love to fight.
Robert Scott.
I am the champion of the Constitution.
Robert Scott Bell. Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom. Here's Robert.
I am encouraging everybody, as we have a couple of segments left with Dr. Batara, that segment we just did, re-listen to it, because once you get the gist of what was related in that one, it will change your life forever and empower you to do things that the rest of the allopathic world would never acknowledge in a million years until they're, you know, basically come back in some other form, I guess. But Dr. Batara, thank you for relating some of the things we were able to get out from our personal experience there. Very valuable.
Glad that I was able to do so, Robert. I just felt like I was talking too much, but I'm glad you felt that.
Absolutely priceless, the information we're getting out there today. Now, in this article, and I have it linked up through SaneVax and VacTruth.com, Dr. Batara, you have it there as well. They say five things that our doctors are doing to seduce mothers, interesting language, into getting their babies vaccinated, things that we would argue, obviously, from our experience, we want to avoid. Seduction number one, you are risking your child's health by not having your child vaccinated. True or false, Dr. Batara?
You know, it's probably the greatest absurdity to make make that kind of a statement, that you're risking your child's health by not getting them vaccinated. If anything, it's quite the opposite, that you're actually maintaining a child's health by not vaccinating them.
Yeah, and definitely the conclusion there's some doctors that are referenced in here. One, Dr. Tim O'Shea, who stated just that in his book, on his website, The Doctor Within. Mm-hmm. And others, more and more coming along to this way of thinking, including that overview analysis that showed 2 to 5 times the rate of chronic disease in the vaccinated population. So for sure. Now, seduction number two in this article, you are risking the health of others by not having your child vaccinated. You sort of already referenced that last segment, but
whoever made this statement should be asked if they're one taco short of a combination platter. Because, I mean, this is the most absurd statement, that if the child is vaccinated and supposedly in their world they are protected, then how can you risk the health of others by not having your child vaccinated when they have been vaccinated? So why would they be at risk?
Yeah. Neil Z. Miller says unvaccinated children are actually a threat to the group. That's absurd. I mean, it makes no sense. By that reasoning, the unvaccinated who are being coerced into taking the shots are somehow responsible for protecting the vaccinated. It's just bizarre. You know, and also the cases of the mumps and the measles, all of these children that are vaccinated getting the measles, and they're trying to blame, well, the people that aren't vaccinated. Well, if your shots worked, it wouldn't be an issue. Of course, that's another issue. So seduction number three, it is the law to have your child vaccinated. They always throw that at you. It's the law.
That's the biggest lie out there. Because if it already was a law, then I would have already left this country a long time ago.
Yeah, there'd be no exemptions, which means it's actually a regulation or a local policy, but not the law, in fact. And all 50 states that so-called require vaccines for entering school, it's not mandatory because there are philosophical, medical, and religious exemptions, various forms in every state. And, you know, as we reiterated before, religious exemption is not associated or limited to the affiliation. You could have 99% of the people going to your church, synagogue, or mosque believing in vaccinations, and you're the 1% that doesn't. It doesn't matter. Your personal beliefs are your religious beliefs, and this was upheld by the Supreme Court.
Yeah, well, that's a great point.
Yeah, Dr. Pattar, I can't tell you how many parents are worried because they're part of a religious organization that doesn't have an official philosophy or belief or tenet on vaccines. Although, you know, if most people read, you know, these ancient texts, it's pretty obvious you're not supposed to be injecting some of these foreign things into the body. But we'll leave it at that. The freedom to reject based on your personally deeply held religious beliefs is not associated necessarily with whatever 501c3 official church, synagogue, or mosque, and I want to make that absolutely clear.
One angle that I've also taken, Robert, that's been very effective after my son Avi had been vaccine injured, and with the grace of God, he's completely back, you know, neurotypically now since the age of probably 3.5, maybe 4 years of age. You know, he's been fine, and just everything by the time he was five and a half, you couldn't ever tell that he had any issue. But one of the angles that I've used that's been very successful for me personally is that when he entered school at the age of, I guess it must have been middle school when he started in fifth grade or fourth grade, one of the transitions from one of the schools, the new school required him to get a vaccine. Mm-hmm. And I said, absolutely not. And of course, you know, went back and forth. And suddenly I realized that I was going to get into the same type of game that so many parents from so many parts of the world that we've taken care of, children that we've taken care of. Mm-hmm. I mean, everywhere. I have people from England that come and say, oh, well, you know, it's so primitive back in the UK. It's not like here it is in the US. And then I'm like, wait a second. Are you aware of what it's like in the US? And US people are saying, I wish I lived somewhere else where they had, you know, it wasn't so primitive. And, and Australian people coming over and going, you know, you people in the US have it so good. It's so primitive back in Australia. Everybody, they're all suffering from the same thing. And that is that there's this mandatory implication that's put into the parents' mind that they have to have these vaccines. So this is the angle that I've used, and it worked very well for me. Going back and forth with the schools, I finally said, okay, fine, I'll go ahead and vaccinate my son. I'll allow the vaccination to take place. However, you have to sign a document that states that you will take full responsibility for any health implications that occur as a result of these vaccines, anything that happens. And, you know, all of a sudden, boom, they backed off and they didn't even want to have that argument. They just gave me the piece of paper to sign, and I signed it, and they didn't have to, you know, they didn't have to take any liability, and they were very happy to let him go right through the system.
Yeah. Well, it strengthened the posture of the parents. That's why I did this seminar upcoming with John Rappaport about going through all of these things to give parents the ability to stand tall, just like you've described, so they cannot be intimidated. And that's an important aspect because these authoritarians don't even know the law. They're just really cowards that hide behind the shield of I am an authority. We don't take that here lying down on the Robert Scott Bell Show any more than Dr. Pattar does that anywhere. That's why we love him so dearly. And grateful for this advanced medicine every week here on the show. Now, seduction number four, this is an interesting one. I'm torn by this one. Your child cannot be educated without the required vaccinations. I'm here to tell you education is being used loosely here because we're talking indoctrination at this point. I'm sorry. I do not have any faith in government schools whatsoever. I know parents are going to say, but my school is different. It's a government school. It teaches the glory of government. This is why we're 100 years down the road into accepting tyranny in this land. So why you'd want to get your kids indoctrinated this way, that's another story. But you can, if you want still, to put them in those schools without the so-called required vaccines that aren't really required.
Yeah, I think your choice of words there is the best choice there, Robert. Your child cannot be indoctrinated appropriately without the required vaccinations.
Yeah, you know, because the vaccines, as we say, they dumb us down. They cause a lot of neurological interference and other things that really lower our ability to see through these lies and the indoctrination. So they can't have fully healthy kids because they're not going to be able to sit through the garbage that a lot of them are being told. So an interesting thought there. I just threw that out. Now, seduction number five here. And it's, again, seducing, isn't that an interesting word they're doing? But I mean, they're frightening in some ways, but in so many ways, these docs are just trying to intimidate moms and dads to get these shots, not knowing any better. But this is the last one here on the list. Your child could die if you do not have your child vaccinated. What
say
you?
Yeah, I think
you?
It's quite the other way around, that your child could die if you do have your child vaccinated.
Emotional blackmail, it's called.
Yeah, I mean that chance of the child dying from vaccinations, I mean, the incidence of sudden infant death syndrome and vaccinations, it's been put out there, the father-son team.
Yes, Mark and David Geyer, wonderful team.
Exactly, and they conclusively showed in one of their studies that the incidence of sudden infant death syndrome was directly related to one of the vaccines. I can't remember exactly which one. I think it was
DTP, I think. In fact, there's a thing here, Dr. Wilson stating here, in a study of 103 children with sudden infant death syndrome, 70% died within 3 weeks of the DTP vaccine. 37% died within a week of that vaccine.
And that's just the DTP, but there are other vaccines that have also had certain incidences too. So when you add them all together, it's quite alarming. And the sudden infant death syndrome, I talked with Mark Geyer at one of the conferences, and we were talking about the attenuated versus the whole cell
pertussis
vaccine, right? And he was talking about, you know, when they took it off the market and what they really found and what was observed. And of course, the public release that was put out had nothing to do with the facts. They just did, you know, a normal cover up job, but it was all related to the whole cell versus the attenuated.
It's amazing what's coming out here, and you know, the things you've written about in the 9 steps to keep the doctor away. Again, we'll tell everybody how to get that when we come back from this break. We've got a short break here. We're going to wrap up the show, Advanced Medicine Monday, with Dr. Bitar next, with a very special action alert that relates to politics of freedom, whether you can be held without cause here in America. Is the War on Terror and the Patriot Act going to end what is known as freedom in this country? We'll talk about that and more after this with Dr. Raja Bitar here on Advanced Medicine Monday on the Robert Scott Bell Show.
For thousands of years, silver has played an essential role in safeguarding human health. Robert Scott Bell Show listeners know that Sovereign Silver Bioactive Silver Hydrosol is the purest and most effective form of silver available. Only Sovereign Silver contains the smallest and most active particles in every bottle, each batch rigorously safety tested to guarantee the highest quality. At only 10 parts per million, Sovereign Silver outperforms other colloidal silvers 50 times more concentrated. Sovereign Silver acts faster than echinacea, oil of oregano, and other immune products. Tastes like water and has more uses than anything else for the immune system. And Sovereign Silver now comes in a topical first aid gel. Use Sovereign Silver gel on cuts, scrapes, minor burns, bug bites, itching, eczema, diaper rash, and more. Sovereign Silver is the number one selling silver brand in the U.S. For a free information packet to order or for a store near you, call 888-328-8840. That's 888-328-8840 or visit sovereignsilver.com.
With natural and man-made disasters and economic turmoil, if we don't get well prepared, we will most certainly regret it. Good readiness must include storage of high-quality food that will build us up rather than tear us down. Much of the storable food available is full of bad fats, salt, sugar, nutrient-poor refined foods, and even MSG. In response, EnerHealth Botanicals has created our 40-day and 40-night 100% organic preparedness pail. It's GMO-free and has a 10 to 20-year shelf life if stored at 60 degrees or less. Some of the items need cooking, some can be eaten dry, while some can be soaked and sprouted. These are selling out fast at third the price of storable food packages. Call us at 866-762-9238. That's 866-762-9238. Or go to enerfood.com, enerfood.com. 866-762-9238. Or go to enerfood.com.
In the health world through the power of radio. It's the Robert Scott Bell Show.
I want to remind all of my new listeners to the Robert Scott Bell Show, particularly those who are new to Advanced Medicine Monday, our special segment every week with Dr. Rashid Bitar. He is the author of a best-selling book. We got USA Today, we got Wall Street Journal, we got Amazon. I mean, this is an amazing book being translated into many languages, The 9 Steps to Keep the Doctor Away. This is a life-changing emotional, heart-wrenching, and beautiful book. Life-changing in a very positive and powerful way. In a brief way, we get to do this every week. A lot of the things you'll see are reflected in that book, Dr. Batar, as you know, because your life's experience is in it, and it just shines through. And I've got the links directly to the 9 steps, so you can absolutely get that, bring it into your home. You want to talk about a holiday gift that will keep on giving, the gift of healing, get that book.
You know, it's funny, Robert, you said that, because I've had so many patients that have gotten the book, and they last year they actually bought 15, 16 copies of the book. A case mm-hmm. has 16 books in there. I had one patient that bought 4 cases of the book, and they gave it out as gifts, and they said it was the most
well-received
gift. That's exactly right. The most well-received
gift. I could
feel
it. I know it's exactly what it's doing. I mean, it's changing people's lives for the better, as we do here each week. But to have that book and have people read it, it's resonating with people. They're ready for it, and it's done in such a way that you don't have to be a doctor. In fact, it probably helps that you're not to really see the truth, because you don't have to unlearn as much.
That's very true.
Yeah. So anyway, but we've got as we talk about healing on all levels, and I appreciate your flexibility with me every week, we end up with a lot of cool topics. Some of them are not purely physiological health and doctoring, but related to the health of the nation and political healing. And there's a huge alert today. In fact, I brought it up on yesterday's show when I did my Sunday broadcast on GCN. The U.S. Senate is evidently set to vote on legislation that would allow the U.S. military to detain Americans without charge or trial, not just overseas, but right here on American soil. And in the last debate, we saw Ron Paul and Newt Gingrich go at each other over this issue, as Gingrich was saying, we need to expand the Patriot Act in the name of protecting U.S. citizens from terrorists. And only Ron Paul said, hey, yeah, you can protect people from crime by putting a camera and a police officer in every house in America. But then you've lost the whole American Revolution. Is that what you want?
It probably is what he wants, what Gingrich wants. But you know, the point that Ron Paul makes is a valid point. In fact, it's probably the most valid point, that you can start to continue to erode some of these liberties that we've had under the pretense of protection. But isn't that how the world communist powers came into being, by saying that they were interested in helping all the people mm-hmm. and to protect all the people and to make sure that everything was equal for all the people? Communism is really, if you study communism, it's a great, great philosophy. Unfortunately, it'll never work because it's too utopian of a concept.
Sure.
Because you've got the factor of man, and man always wants more. Mm-hmm. Now, if you had a bunch of dumbed down sheep and you give them everything equal, yes, maybe it would work. But then again, maybe that would be the reason that they're trying to get everybody vaccinated and dump the population.
Yeah, well, exactly. And then, of course, depleting the resources, whether they be human resources or otherwise. And in this case, they want to declare the American continent, United States land, the homeland, as a war zone, you know, under this phony war on a tactic known as terrorism, which Ron Paul brings up constantly. And here we are, Senators Carl Levin, a Democrat, Lebanon, Michigan, John McCain, who gets it right on torture, but not about anything else. And they're forwarding this bill. They drafted it in secret and passed it in a closed door committee meeting without even a single hearing. All in the name of, there's war on our shores. And we basically now have to throw out the Fourth Amendment, unreasonable search and seizure. We're throwing out all the way things back to the Magna Carta at this point.
Yeah, I mean, this is amusing. It's amusing in some ways. It, of course, is absurd in some ways. But the whole Patriot Act was actually passed the same way. If you recall, it was done under a closed-door session. It was privately discussed, and they voted it in. And if I remember right, the Patriot Act actually had certain language in there about vaccines, where it limited the amount of damages or negated any damages against vaccination companies or vaccine manufacturers. Wasn't that right, Robert?
Under declared emergencies. And who determines the emergency? Doesn't matter, right? They say it's an emergency. You just got, okay, well, no more liability. If you kill slews of people with your experimental vaccines, hey, you're off the hook because we need it. It was an emergency. I'm sorry you died from it. It was an emergency.
Right. And the funny thing is, though, for the people that are listening to the show right now, you may not realize that, I mean, the first logical question in anybody's mind should be, what does vaccines have to do with the Patriot Act? And yet, that's exactly how they got that language passed through. They piggybacked it on the Patriot Act, making sure that by calling it the Patriot Act, that the vaccine agenda that was subversively passed, which since then has been, I think, amended, but still that they subversively passed it in order to make sure that anybody who would oppose this mm-hmm. bill would be non-patriotic.
Right, right. And of course, what was brilliant, Ron Paul in the last debate says the Patriot Act is unpatriotic.
Yeah, exactly.
He was the only one making sense. And even, you know, the so-called left liberals are going, dude, he's starting to make sense. He's been making sense. They're not just now waking up to see it. And not even Obama, the savior of the left, supposedly acknowledges this as he doubled and tripled down on the Bush wars before him and has expanded the Patriot Act.
That's probably the most profound statement that I believe has been made in the political spectrum, and that is that the Patriot Act is not patriotic. In mm-hmm. fact, there's nothing patriotic about the Patriot Act. And there's no mistake in other words that they chose to name that bill.
No,
Robert.
It's Orwellian, isn't it? They've chosen these words and make it the opposite.
Right. It's a propaganda. It's projection. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what they're doing. They knew that they had to get this thing across. And what better name to give a bill that is so, or a law, or whatever, what is it considered? The Patriot Act.
Well, now it's considered, it was signed into law. Of course, much of it is unconstitutional and has no effect except that they have the so-called power until the people stand up, whether it be by a 10th Amendment, nullify these laws, or by other means of civil disobedience. This is where we're at. We got about a minute left, and you know, you've served in the military. I mean, I'm liking what I'm seeing here. Like, I saw one Marine stand up against the New York Police Department who were going to, I don't know, pepper spray the people that were in the Occupy Wall Street movement. He says, this is not honorable. You can't do this to the American. What are they doing? You might not agree with them, but they're not breaking the law. They're utilizing the First Amendment to speak out of what they think is wrong. And this military man stood up. He was a veteran of the Gulf War and Gulf War II or something. And I was really proud at that point to see that the vets coming back have the sanity to stand against the police state.
And there was a vet that was actually just injured. And I don't know if that's the same person you're talking about. He's got a closed head injury and he's in a coma right now after police hit him in the face, from what I remember. In fact, my brother was at that altercation. In fact, they were protesting. I don't remember exactly what it was, but my brother was there. This man, my brother knew him, and the individual was injured by the police and then was hospitalized and is, as I understand right now, still in a coma. But if you think about this just quickly, I know we're running out of time, Robert.
Yeah.
What better name to call a bill, to call a law mm-hmm. that is the most unpatriotic thing that is out there, and that pretty much every person, with even a rudimentary understanding of history, would agree that this is the most unpatriotic thing out there mm-hmm. than to call it the Patriot Act?
Yeah, well, absolutely. Well said. And
They had to name it that, because without that, they had nothing.
Say what you will about Ronald Reagan, what he did in office versus what he said, but what he said was pretty profound. He says that, you know, most dangerous words you never want to hear are, "Hi, we're from the government, and we're here to help you." So on that note, stand tall, in defense of liberty, as we do every week here. Dr. Bitar, thank you so much for doing that with us. You give us a lot of strength and knowledge sustenance in this realm, and I'm grateful that we get to do this every week together, because you definitely help me do what I'm here to do, that is to remind everybody, you know what it is, that the power to heal is yours.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hey there, this is Mike. Got a couple of things you may want to check out. Did you know about the website counterthink.com? These are some really hilarious, freedom-oriented, health-oriented, even political cartoons that you got to check out. counterthink.com. And if you want to know what's in your food, go check out foodinvestigations.com, where you've got a bunch of free mini documentaries, little videos there that you can watch that will show you what's in your food and what's not in your food. We talk about Total Blueberry Pomegranate Cereal made by General Mills. Did you know it has no blueberries in it and no pomegranates? We got the video right there on foodinvestigations.com. And if you really want to know what's in your food, your medicine, your personal care products, and so on, head over to naturalnews.com. We're publishing about 12 articles a day now, everything from healing superfoods to the dangerous chemicals in your products, foods, and medicines. naturalnews.com. Check it out.
Hi, this is Robert Scott Bell, and I want to tell you about my great friends at EnterFood.com. Like me, the folks at EnterFood are fighting the good fight for your total health freedom. Their super green energy drink, EnterFood, is full of natural ingredients like spirulina and chlorella, which can improve your immune system and detox you from harmful radiation. EnterFood was voted best superfood by Mike Adams and the Southwest College of Naturopathic Medicine. EnterFood.com is one-stop shopping for all your health and survival needs. Try their meal replacement product for those watching their weight. Organic immune support coffee, cocoa, coconut milk powder, and herbal tinctures for your every need. Innerfood.com now has developed a new survival preparedness pail packed with all organic, tasty, non-GMO foods to get you and your family through any disaster. All of these great products are now available to you for a 10% discount when you mention the Robert Scott Bell Show. Call them to order at 866-762-9238. That's 866-762-9238. Or go to our product page at Innerfood.com. That's Innerfood.com.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.